Everybody, welcome to the press. This is our Wednesday show as we get ready for the Shriners Children's Open. I'm Ryan Ballingy. It's good to have you here. We'll talk a little bit about some picks based on data this week. Not so much necessarily based on feeling or recent trends or anything like that. I mean, some of it's recent trends, but in trending data. And we'll talk a little bit about that as it relates to horses for courses, as it relates to current form. Spoiler alert, there's not a whole lot to work with. And also just kind of looking at the last 10 events that we have. So typically I would do the show when we would talk about the model for the week, and I've been going through the entire process, getting all the data updated, and the PGA Tour's shot link system is just not cooperating today. It will not let me get all the tournament data that I need, so I can't update everything fully, and I don't have a good model for you because I don't have the last few tournaments. So everything we talk about here will be kept in mind that we don't have the data for the last couple of tournaments. The good news is, I guess, that if you look at the horse for course piece of all of this, or rather the current form piece of this, in terms of players in the field this week, the only players that have multiple, there's only one player in the field that has a multiple top 15 finishes in the last five PGA Tour events played. And that's actually playing this week. And that guy is Troy Merritt. And he has been in seventh and ninth in the first two events of the fall. So we talked about this toward the tail end of the regular PGA Tour season, that Merritt had been playing well. He might be getting over those putting yips that he's been dealing with so brutally over the course of the season. Might be rounding into a better shape. And here we are. So that might be a guy to look at. Other than that, you really don't have a lot to work with because your other events, so the last three events, the Sanderson Farms and the Shriners, Sanderson Farms and the Fortinet, and then also the Tour Championship. Those were the three events worth of data we were updating through. And then you would throw in the FedEx St. Jude Championship and the BMW Championship, the other two playoff events. So obviously, you don't have a lot of these guys playing this week because they may have played in the playoffs. They're in the top 50. If you got through the playoffs in the top 50, the odds are you are not playing this week. So, for example, like Tom Hoagie, he's playing this week, but he's a top 50 player trying to stay in the top 50. Otherwise, you don't really have a lot to work with. So that's kind of your one and done on that front, really, that is actually playing this week. J.J. Spahn is a worthwhile guy to indicate here on this list of top 15 finishes in the last five. He only has one. Came to the Safeway. Well, Fortinet. I list in the database as Safeway because it's the old tournament name. The Fortinet Championship. He is a horse for course here. So I think he is worth a consideration for a bet. And then that allows me to transition somewhat smoothly to horse for course plays. So we like to look at top 15 finishes in an individual event in the prior 5 years of it. And J.J. Spahn is on that list. So the players that populate the list either have two or three top 15 finishes in the last 5 years. J.J. Spahn has two. Webb Simpson, two. Adam Schenck, two. Andrew Putnam, two. We're going reverse alphabetical this week. Matt Neesmith, three. Peter Malnati, two. Martin Laird, two. Siwoo Kim, 3, Tom Hoagie, 2, Harry Hall, 2, and Adam Hadwin, 2 of the players competing this week. And then we want to look at course fits. Course fits sometimes is a great indicator. Sometimes it isn't particularly additive. Sometimes just great. If you're a great player, course fit doesn't matter. You probably work everywhere. If you're not so great player, you kind of tend to hang on to your card. Course fit does tend to matter. What fits your eye matters. So fits for this week are not that different than last week. In fact, a lot of turnover. Henrik Norlander, Cam Davis, who just wasn't playing last week, Webb Simpson likes this venue, Scott Piercy likes this venue, Ryan Moore is one at this event, one in this tournament, but he was a pick last week as well because he fit the course. So again, doesn't always work, but it's at least something to consider when you're thinking about either your lineups or your wagers for this week. And then I wanted to bring up the short-term model. This isn't, again, not per- perfectly indicative because we don't have three tournaments of data in here. So we're going back. It's really the last 13 tournaments. Well, 7 of the last 10. Let me put it that way. And obviously, everyone playing this time of year didn't necessarily do very well in the playoffs. So this isn't a perfect list by any stretch of the imagination, but it is fairly indicative of what we're seeing. So when we look at this short-term model, look at the last 10 events played, and I'm looking for three things. One, strokes gained total average of 1.25 strokes per round over this period. Quality strokes gained of 1.5 or greater over this period. Obviously, these guys are not playing the high-quality fields, and they haven't played a ton, which means that quality strokes gained measure kind of goes up, not out the window, but it's not as important. And then also, I'm looking for 0.6 strokes per round gained on the average on the approach. So let's start with the total list, guys, to think about. Webb Simpson has actually been playing very good golf lately on a golf course he likes, and I think he may be flying quite a bit under the radar here. JT Poston is next. Charlie Hoffman playing well. Scott Piercy likes the venue, apparently playing pretty well. Andrew Novak, I've highlighted him a number of times. He Monday qualified into here. He really needed it. This is a big week for him. He's kind of hovering in that 120 range. Got to stay in the 125. Garrick Higo has been playing well. Nikolai Højgaard's been playing well. Obviously had a very nice debut at the Ryder Cup. Ludvig Åberg has been playing brilliant golf everywhere. He should be he would be higher up on this list if we included all tours. Alex Noren's playing well. So Scandinavian boys playing pretty well. Martin Laird loves this venue just outside of that 1.25 range. Not the best in terms of the approach play, but everything is positive. Adam Svensson's worth considering. Jason Duffner is worth at least mentioning. Now, in terms of the approach play, we're going to sort by that. There are some absolute duds on this list, by the way. But in terms of approach play, guys to consider, Sam Ryder is right at the top of that list. He stinks at putting, but if he can putt anywhere near decent this week, he's got a really good chance to win. Same thing with Doug Gim. Stinks at putting. Ches Reavy stinks at putting. Those guys are all above 0.85 strokes gained on average on the approach. Nikolai Højgaard is a guy I like a whole lot. Hitting the ball well, putting it well. Limited play on the PGA Tour, but it's working for him. So worth considering very strongly here. Akshay Bhatia, same guy as the other first two we mentioned. Stinks at putting, great at striking the ball. Trevor Cohn, same thing. Hit the ball great, off the tee and on the approach. Stinks at chipping and putting. I mean, colossally bad. Andrew Putnam, good putter, good approach player, bad driver. He does like this venue, though, so that leads me to believe that we can negate some of that off-the-tee misery that we're seeing with him, losing about half a stroke around off the tee because he's short and he's not accurate. But he likes the venue, so I'm willing to kind of take some of that off here, and I think that makes him a worthwhile play. Eric Cole, also a bad driver of the golf ball, but man, he's a grinder. He's a great approach player, great putter. I think he's got to be worth a look here. And another guy I'll throw out, he does a lot on Twitter, kind of in this category of your Doug Gims, your Sam Ryders, your Trevor Cones, your Akshay Bhatias. Gains strokes enough off the tee, plays well on the approach, stinks as a putter. Just absolutely horrid as a putter. And that would really change his life around if you were a little bit better at that. And then the other guy I'll point out, who is I thought was a lovely surprise of the playoffs and has a good record in this venue, is Adam Schenck. Gains just barely positive strokes over the tee over the 7 of the last 10 events played. A little more than half a stroke around gain on the approach. Gaining on putts. I think that's a guy to absolutely look out for this week. And I think I've mentioned Jason Duffner, Duff Daddy, gaining in all facets of the game. He has found something. This is not a long golf course. It's about 72-50 off the tee. It'll play a little bit shorter than that with run out. Unless the weather, you know, if the weather blows, comes in, wind blows, you've got something to work with here. But otherwise, it won't play as long as the stated number. And that means it should help guys that are a little bit shorter, which is probably why guys like Andrew Putnam like this venue. They're not long. It doesn't play long. You don't have to be long. And one guy I did mention earlier, we talked about JJ Spahn, gaining plenty of strokes off the tee, gaining a little bit more than 0.3 of a stroke per round on the approach, losing a little bit on the putter. I can live with that. I think I can live with that. So those are probably the guys worth looking at here. I talked about Harry Hall. Really like Harry Hall's game, but he stinks driving the golf ball right now. I mean, really, really bad in the last 10 events played. So if he can clean that up, that I think that's worth a wager. He likes the venue. Again, is it enough to overcome all the current bad woes with the driver? I don't know, but it might be worth a small wager. So those are the guys I'm really thinking about and looking toward with all that knowledge in hand and where we are in the week. And then I will come back to just the overall market. Tom Kim is the favorite, 11-1. Ludwig Ober is 12-1, and then you get to Siwoo Kim, which I think is a great play. He has shortened up. I believe he was closer to 25, and now he's 20. That makes sense. Adam Schenck at 30, I think, is a viable alternative. Tom Hoagie, he was 33, I believe, got down to 30 in multiple markets, multiple books. Tom Hoagie was 40 or 45. Now he's 35. A lot of movement onto him. Again, I like Hoagie a lot. Tommy Tables is playing pretty. He played 13th last week at the Sanderson. Likes the venue. I get it. That feels like a lot of movement on a guy. But maybe it is just that obvious. Adam Hadwin really likes this golf course. Maybe a suitable pivot, but maybe just take them both. I don't know. Højgaard, I think, is worth a look here, just given how superior he's been overall. Mark Hubbard could be a course fit at 50-1. Sam Ryder is going to get some love, and I think deservedly so, given the data we presented. And I think Doug Gim, if Doug Gim can just, and we say this about lots of guys, if Doug Gim could just putt a little bit, he'd have won a couple times by now. Matt Neesmith loves the venue, 75-1. Absolutely have to have him, I think, given his history. I know he hasn't played well in a couple fall events, but I can work with what he's offering here. And Webb Simpson, I really did not want to consider him at the start of the week, but given what I'm seeing in the data and given the course record, I think you have to think about him at least on a top 5 or top 10 bet. Top 10 is plus 850, top 5 is 20-1. Win bet is 100-1. Scott Stallings, same thing. Ride him while he's hot. Get in there and do it. Just work with it. So Harry Hall's 130-1, maybe worth just a minor sprinkle. Minor sprinkle. We're not talking big play here. And I think that's going to be the extent of it for me this week. Maybe I'll come back to Henrik Norlander because he is a course fit. His odds are even longer this week at 200-1, even though he had a great week last week. Seems like the golf course as a fit, maybe not as a statistical play, but or as a history play, but as a statistical play, maybe worth a look here. Russell Knox at 250-1 is just enough interesting to me, too, to maybe throw a little bit of coin on. You're going to have a hard time convincing me Scott Piercy and Charlie Hoffman are worth bets. But if you look at where they've been recently, Sanderson Farms missed the cut. Fortinet missed the cut. Wyndham, T45, 3M Open, didn't even finish. WD missed the cut. Barbasol. So he is a course fit, but he is not a current form play. A little bit old, but on a shorter course, if you want to have some kind of major long shot, that's interesting to me. It does feel like there's also been some strange movement in this market toward Lexi Thompson making the cut. Please don't fall into that trap. If she does, awesome for her, but don't throw good money after bad chasing a 20-1, 25-1, 15-1, depending on the book you give her. She's 2,000-1 to win the tournament. That's not happening. So if for some reason you think she's going to make the cut, I don't know that you bet on her individually to do that. She's plus 750 to finish in the top 40, though. So at least as far as DraftKings is concerned, her making the cut isn't that outrageous. So I would at least, I'd be very careful if you're going to try to go play that market, especially on major minus money. So just getting that out there. I'm sure there's probably a fair amount of weird action on this. So be concerned. I would stay away from that entirely. Matchups to consider for this week. Tournament matchups for me. This is a brutal lineup. I think I would take Alex Noren minus 120 over Chess and Hadley. He had a nice week last week, but I like Noren at this venue quite a bit. I think I'd take Nikolai Højgaard minus 120 over Emiliano Grillo. I would take Adam Hadwin at even money over Andrew Putnam, given the course record. I would take... Oh, that's kind of an interesting one. You might want to... Tom Kim and Ludwig Ober is an interesting one. I would not play it. I don't see a huge edge here, but I would consider Tom Hoagie plus 105 against JJ Spahn. They're trying to tell you they think JJ Spawn's a contender, and they're both very similar prices on the board. But I think I would consider Tom Hoagie in that. Just feels like a little bit of a better value. I'm not going to do margins, anything one or a playoff this week. But otherwise, I'm going to keep it pretty simple, pretty light. Again, bet the fall light. You get it, cool. If not, we've got NFL, we've got Major League Baseball playoffs. Hit some hockey bets last night, thanks to VGK. So if you're interested in wagers about that, we can talk about those too. I would love the feedback. I'm happy to talk about that kind of stuff. But this is meant to be about golf betting, not all betting. So if you have questions about that, email me, Ryan, at thegolfnewsnet.com. Hit me up on Twitter or X at Ryan Balogi. Same thing for Threads and Instagram. I'm on all those services. We'll be back next week with another set of shows. We've got another week off on the PGA Tour, but we do have plenty to get to on all the other tours in the world. So, hope you have a winning week. Thanks so much for listening. We'll catch you next time on The Press.